Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, homeschool leaders. Welcome back to another edition of the Homeschool CPA podcast, hosted here under the name Dollars and Cents Shows on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. This is Carol Topp. My website is Homeschool CPA, and I spend a lot of time helping homeschool leaders. I am catching up from being gone for about 2 weeks as this is airing. I'm pre-recording this, but this will air in early November, and I have been gone on a trip to Israel, and hopefully I'm back by now, Lord willing, but catching up. So thank you for your patience in dealing with me while I was away, not answering emails, not doing phone consultations, not helping homeschool leaders. Still trying to put out my podcast and blog posts, though, regularly. And this podcast, I want to talk about some stuff I did before I left for my trip, and that was to update my book called Paying Workers in a Homeschool Organization. So I released this book. I released it originally a while back, maybe like 2010, 2011, first edition. It was just an electronic book. It was like a whopping 30, 40 pages long. But in late 2006, November 2006, I released it as a much longer book, 140, 130, 140 pages, and in paperback, not just ebook format. So the book has been very popular to help homeschool leaders know how to pay their workers, whether those workers are volunteers, board members, independent contractors, or employees. Well, the book is only a year old, and I started realizing this summer, oh my gosh, it needs to be updated because a lot of things had happened in the year, less than a year, since I wrote that book. So I want to talk a little bit about that on the podcast today, but also understand that I put out a document about 6 pages long to say, hey, here's what changed between the second and third edition. So if you bought a paperback version or Kindle or PDF version already, I want you to know what changed via this podcast and via this document. You can find this document at my website, homeschoolcpa.com. Go to the bookstore tab and then Paying Workers, the book itself. And on there, you'll see a link to say, here's what changed. But basically what happened that precipitated the change was a couple of things. So I released this book in November of 2016, and the week after Christmas, December 2016, something terrible happened to a lot of homeschool families, and that is a very popular online program called Landry Academy suddenly took down their website. And what we heard via some of their independent contractor teachers was that the poor Landry Academy ran into some financial problems because they were undergoing an IRS audit for the way that they treated their teachers, their workers. They ran a lot of online classes, and they hired everybody as independent contractors to teach their online classes. They were, I guess, like 200 of them or something, scattered all across the United States. And the IRS said they should have been employees. I don't know the particulars, but I'm only saying what we via, you know, social media, via people who are interested in what happened to poor Landry Academy, heard from some of their teachers. So that precipitated me doing a webinar, and it's called Business Failure in the Homeschool Marketplace. It was supposed to be an hour-long webinar. I did that in January to explain how, you know, what happened, or what happened when a business fails, what can you do as a family, what could the tutors do, but most importantly, my heart is for homeschool leaders. What do you as a homeschool leader need to do so you don't have a bad thing happen like happened to poor Landry Academy? And that webinar was supposed to be an hour long and ended up being 90 minutes long because there were so many questions about, am I properly classifying my workers, my teachers in a homeschool co-op, especially as independent contractors or as employees. So I started doing tons of research in January as a result of what happened to Landry Academy and the questions I was getting asked, and that's what precipitated an update to the book. So in the book, I share a little bit of that research that I do. I'm not going to bore you with tons of research because I am reading IRS cases Oh my gosh, IRS revenue rulings, documents written by the IRS, and a tax court rulings. And you, trust me, you do not want to be spending your day reading that kind of stuff. So I tried to boil this down into just as concise as I can. But basically, I added some very important paragraphs to the first few chapters of the book, chapters 2 and 3, where I talk about how to classify your teachers in a homeschool co-op, those particularly, okay? And I'm taking a much firmer stand after my research that teachers in a homeschool co-op, in an educational setting, should almost always generally be treated as employees and not independent contractors. So that's why I felt like the book needed an update, that I got a feedback from one of the people who read the book, and I appreciated her feedback very much. She said, "You know, Carol, you're kind of confusing me in this book. You say one thing, like they should be employees, but maybe you could treat them as independent contractors." In other words, she felt I was kind of meaning maybe, she didn't use this word, but maybe a little wishy-washy or unclear. And then she said, "But then you have contracts in the back of the book for independent contractors. So which way is it? You know, you're telling us to hire them as employees, but then you give us information for treating them like independent contractors." So I apologize for the confusion. It can be confusing. So one of the other additional changes I made to the book, Paying Workers in a Homeschool Organization, is that I explain I offer a worker consultation service. If you're confused about how you should be treating your workers, we go through it specifically because, believe it or not, sometimes some of this stuff can be a case-by-case basis. I try as much as possible to give you information in the book so that you can pay $10 and learn as much as you can by reading, or you can hire me. Of course, it's a much higher rate, more money, to get a specific consultation on your specific situation. So I added that information. But I also, one of the other changes to the book was I added quite a few more questions and answers. Usually at the end of each chapter, I put a few questions, Q&A, FAQ page, that kind of thing, frequently asked questions, FAQ. And these are usually questions that I've been emailed or asked in person as I visit with homeschool leaders at homeschool conventions. And so there are questions that people ask to me about, you know, well, what's the consequence if I keep treating them as independent contractors and don't want to treat them as employees? You know, am I going to go to jail? Okay, what is it going to cost? Will I be penalized? And so I discuss that. Basically, it's a risk you might take, you can take, but it's a risk if you want to keep treating your teachers in a homeschool organization as independent contractors. Maybe you're ready to face that risk, or maybe you can't sleep at night. So there's questions about that. There's also questions about, what if the parents pay the teachers directly? How does that work? So I wanted to address that because that happens a lot. And then I wanted to address questions I've been asked from Classical Conversations directors. Well, what about them? What about their tutors? Are they employees or independent contractors? So I answered those questions, added those things. Okay. So some of the changes made to the book are that I have become much more clear, and including some of my research to make basically, the bold statement that in general and usually, teachers in homeschool co-ops should be treated as employees, not independent contractors. And I give you my reasoning why. You can listen to other podcasts, or obviously go look at the document about what I changed in the book to read that rationale, or buy the book, Paying Workers in a Homeschool Organization, available at homeschoolcpa.com as well as Amazon. And then I added some more questions in my replies. But I have to say, probably one of the biggest changes came at the back of the book, and that is where I offer sample contracts. Matter of fact, I used to, the title, it was chapter 8, the title used to be Sample Independent Contractor Agreements, and I took out the word independent contractor. So if you want to know if you're getting the latest version of the book, look at chapter 8. And look to see if chapter 8 is titled Sample Independent Contractor Agreements. That's the second edition, the older one. If chapter 8 is simply titled Sample Agreements, you got the latest and the greatest. Because what I did is I added an employment agreement. If you want to hire, and I think you probably should hire your teachers as employees, you should have an agreement with them stating they're employees. It's a very simple contract, very short, only one page, but it's different from hiring them as an independent contractor. I also eliminated one of the independent contractor agreements I had in there. It was very long, very complex. I just scratched it completely, okay, because of that, no one's going to use this. I kept in there a short independent contractor agreement, but I put a big caveat on the top, basically use at your own risk, okay, knowing that you may not be classifying them properly. So I added an employment agreement. I also added an agreement called a memorandum of understanding. And that's a document, it's not quite a legal agreement, but it's a document you might use if the teachers are paid by the parents directly and not by your organization. So that's done by a lot of groups. And it's I go into why it needed a unique kind of agreement. It's not a binding contract because you don't have any money that you're paying this teacher. The parents are paying the teachers directly. So the best you can have is in writing what might be called a memorandum of understanding. Hey, simply understand that, dear teacher, you're paid by the parents, not us, but we give you a place to meet, and here's our understanding with each other. So I think it's nice to have things in writing so that everybody understands what you are doing and what you're not doing or offering. So again, those are probably some of the biggest changes there at the back of the book in the sample agreements. You can feel free to use these, but of course, the big caveat that I am an accountant, I am a CPA, certified public accountant, but these agreements are only samples. They are not offering legal advice or legal opinions. I can't do that. I'm not a lawyer, but they are a collection of the best I've seen in independent contractor agreements or in this memorandum of understanding you want to have with a teacher who's not paid by you, but paid by the parents. So in general, what I want you to know is I really think you need to have written agreements with anybody that you're in a relationship, a business relationship with in your homeschool group. So, all that to say, paying workers is now, believe it or not, in its third edition. Third edition coming close on the heels of the second one. And if you bought that second edition, yeah, especially if you bought it in paperback or actually any version, the eBack or the Kindle, like I said, you can go to homeschoolcpa.com, the bookstore page, go to paying workers, click on that page like you're going to pretend to buy the book again. You don't have to buy the book. You can just click on the document I have linked there that says this is what changed. Obviously, if you want to buy the book, again, that would be very helpful. You know, destroy the old one. There's nothing really wrong in the old one. There's no errors. It's more my coming out with stronger, clearer information. Okay, so the second edition is still good. The third edition is just better. Okay, so I want to make that clear. Nothing wrong or erroneous in the second edition. I did delete a few things, but only because I felt they were wishy-washy and I wanted to take a firmer stand and be more clear on some things. Mostly, like I said, as a result of you guys giving me feedback. So I do appreciate your feedback. If you ever want to drop me an email, it's Carol@homeschoolcpa, and know that I do listen. You know, one or two people saying something really gets my attention because I want to be clear. And I want to serve you guys as you help homeschool families homeschool their kids successfully. So again, thank you for all you do. I'm trying to help you do as good a job as possible. And of course, stay out of trouble with the IRS. So I hope this podcast has been helpful. Please share it far and wide and share any information that I have, you know, on my blog. Please share that with your leaders in your area so we are all running our organizations in the best manner we can, both to serve the families and, of course, to keep ourselves out of trouble and help us, run our homeschool groups without burnout. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.